Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, verses 21 to 28. Yatasyate parasirorunadhanam nikamayetsakila kamalam kata terevarasitsitamiksitorchito yabhaknayamcha bhagavam patapriti. My dear Lord, you automatically fulfill all desires of a woman who worships your lotus feet in pure love. However, if a woman worships your lotus feet for a particular purpose, you also quickly fulfill her desires, but in the end she becomes broken-hearted and laments. Therefore, one need not worship your lotus feet for some material benefit. What do you remember from Bhurijan Prabhu's class yesterday? Nothing. Yes, you remember. Okay, so Lakshmi Devi is praying to Kamadev, Pradyumna, and she's saying that he is providing everything for us so we can engage in his devotional service. Therefore, we should engage in his devotional service. He's a supreme husband for all living entities. Yes, here also in this verse, he is the only husband, and if you worship him for something else, then you will become broken-hearted and lament. Anything else, Dhamma Krishna? They're like crocodiles. Those who are not using their senses in Krishna consciousness are like crocodiles out of water. Out of water. We should be in the water of nectar of devotion, right? That is our natural position, yes. So the qualities of the non-devotees are like the low-class couple who praise each other, but actually it's a bunch of zeros. Janma is zero. Aishraya, Shuta, Shri, all zeros, etc. But if you add the one, number one, Krishna in front, it becomes very valuable. We were discussing that yesterday also in our class. And a lot of today's prayers will be about that same thing. Just the first prayer we read today. We worship Krishna for something material. At the end, you become broken-hearted and lament. So this is what we should not do. So Lakshmi, she is the presiding deity of all opulences. So everyone is worshipping Lakshmi. So now Lakshmi herself is giving advice. Don't try for these things, these material opulences. And she will tell us, I think, what to pray for. And she will tell who she favors the most. So Lakshmi is accepting Pradyumna as her only husband, and she gave many qualities of Pradyumna in her first prayer. Some of these qualities here, there are three qualities of Pradyumna I noticed that are very similar to those of the moon god. And this is Anamayaya, he maintains all living beings by supplying necessities of life. Amritamayaya, he awards eternal life. And Sarva Mayaya, he is all-pervading. So can you flip this flip chart and we'll see how these qualities are very similar, almost exact same Sanskrit. Yeah, next page, for those of the moon. We'll hear about this in the 22nd chapter. Qualities of the moon, Anamaya, gives potency to all the herbs and plants. Amritamaya, source of life for all living entities. And Sarvamaya, he pleases everyone. So there is a relationship between the moon and Pradyumna. Does anybody know what that relationship is? Deity of the mind. His intelligence. Actually, Pradyumna's intelligence. And in his expansion as Aniruddha, he's the predominating deity of the mind. And as we heard last year in the prayers of Lord Shiva, from Aniruddha there are many, many expansions. One is the moon, one is the sun. So Aniruddha appears as the sun, as the moon, as fire, as so many different living entities just to maintain everyone in the universe. So these are three examples here of how the relationship is there between the moon and Pradyumna and Aniruddha. There's three qualities which are exactly the same, and the moon is deriving these qualities from Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So and these are other qualities of Pradyumna. Rishikeshaya, Lord of Senses, Sarvaguna, transcendental qualities, Visheshaya, all varieties, Vilakshita, Atmane, the soul of all living entities, Akutinam, All, okay, akutinam, chitinam, chetasam, of all kinds of activity, knowledge, functions of the mind, and their objects. Now flip the flip chart and see what it has to do with all of these. Akutinam, chitinam, chetasam, visheshanam. He is something. He is Adipatiye, master. So Pradyumna is a master of all these different qualities. And Shodasha Kalaya, the 16 original ingredients, he is the origin, they're his parts. Chanda Mayaya, the enjoyer of all ritualistic ceremonies. So these are the qualities of Pradyumna. So anything you want, he's Kamadev. He's Kamadev. But Lakshmi is not recommending to worship him as Kamadev. You shouldn't worship him for material desires, because in the end you'll become brokenhearted and lament. So then the next verse explaining why he is the only husband and why a material husband cannot give protection, because of three factors. He's under time, he's under karma, and he's under the modes. So therefore, even though he may want to give protection, he cannot. So let's turn the flip chart one more time, and we will see something else. These are the worshippers in Jambudvip. These are all the nine varshas of Jambudvip. And we started with Ilavrita, where Lord Shiva is worshipping Sankarshan. Then Badashava is worshipping Hayashirsha. Hari Varsha, we heard Prahlad worshipping Ishinga. And now we are in Ketumala Varsha, where Lakshmi is worshipping Kamadev. So then, and we'll also, today we'll go to Ramyaka Varsha, and we'll hear the prayers of Manu to Matsya Avatar. And then this evening you'll hear Aryama worshipping Kurma and Bhumi Devi Varaha. And tomorrow we'll hear the end of the prayers. Hanuman and Narada will be worshipping. So if you look at these worshippers, it looks like Narada, for example, is not the ruler of Bharadvarsha, but he's the worshipper here of Narayana Rishi. Hanuman also. They're great devotees, it seems, that are the worshippers here. Prahlad, Shiva, Manu, Bhumi Devi, Hanuman, Narada. They're all the worshippers in Jambudvip. And now we're about in the middle. We're at Ketumala. It's on the western side of Ilavrita, Varsha. And she is worshipping Kamadev. So purport, four lines down. She says, Prabhupada says, by executing devotional service in that way, he gradually becomes attached to Krishna. And when his original dormant love for the Lord becomes manifest, he spontaneously serves the Lord without any motive. This condition is the perfect stage of one's relationship with the Lord. The Lord then looks after the comfort and security of his devotee without being asked. So there comes a stage in the life of a devotee where the Lord becomes, without being asked, he takes complete care of his devotee. So what stage is this? When the Lord is taking 100% pava? Yes? No? We don't know. Bhava, ruchi, asakti. Here Prabhupada says, when your original dormant love becomes manifest and you're in spontaneous love, so it would appear asakti, bhava, in that level of love, spontaneous love for Krishna. So Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mame jana payupasate desha nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam bahamyam. The Supreme Lord personally takes care of anyone who is completely engaged in his devotional service. Whatever he has, the Lord protects. Whatever he needs, the Lord supplies. Therefore, why should one bother the Lord for something material? Such prayers are unnecessary. But then, Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, but even if you want the Lord to fulfill a desire, devotee should not be considered a sakam devotee. Isn't that interesting? I always thought, if you're praying for something material, you're a sakam devotee. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur disagrees. He says no. So why is that? Why is he not a sakam devotee? If you're asking for something material, Lila Shuka?
Because he
He wants to get rid. He wants to, yes, because his desire is to get rid of them, but unfortunately he has them, so what can he do? So he asks the Lord, Lord's his shelter, his only, he's depending on the Lord, so that at least that's there. So Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur, later a few lines down, it explains that the Artha and Artharti, who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief from misery or for some money, are not Sakam Bhaktas, although they appear to be. Jai Maharaj. What do you think, Maharaj? Are the Artha and Arti Sakam Bhaktas or not? The Artha and the Arti. The ones who want money and who want... Yes. And want relief from misery. What do you think?
They're definitely Sakam.
Oh. You disagree with Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He says no. They are not Sakam Bhaktas. What to do? I always thought so myself. You know, I thought they were Sakam. Which verse? We're in the purport of 21 right now. This is a very interesting purport. I don't know if you have that in your book, but I have it in my book. This was the original book, and it says that they are not Sakam devotees. So, why not? Being... What's that? Just see that they are Sakam devotees. Yes, we'll have to put an asterisk over there. Yes, Adi Purush. Yes.
In the Gita.
He writes very interesting things. Would you know a few interesting... Can you tell us? They go to the spiritual world never to return. So that gives a lot of hope for us, Sakam devotees. Gives us a lot of hope. They go to the spiritual world never to return. Now you're a nectar devotion teacher. Do you agree with that? No. What does it say? Candidates for pure devotional service may approach Krishna with some reservation. Or motivation. When they come into association of devotees, they become purified. They are Mahatmas, magnanimous souls. So they come into association, devotees take up devotional service. So therefore they're Mahatmas, although they have some desire. So here in the purport we'll continue. Being neophyte devotees, they are simply ignorant. Later in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Udara sarva evaite. They are all magnanimous, Udara. Although, in the beginning, a devotee may harbor some desire, in due course of time, it will vanish. Anybody have that experience? You had some desire in the beginning, and after years of devotional service, that desire somehow miraculously vanished. Especially if you get the desire fulfilled, it really vanishes, the way Krishna fulfills it. So then, therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam enjoins... Akama sarvakamova mokshkama utarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he is full of all material desire, free from material desire, has a desire for liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole Personality of Godhead. So then Prabhupada is saying, okay, it doesn't matter if you have a desire, even if you want something material, you should pray to no one but the Lord to fulfill his desire. Sometimes devotees go to astrologers, and the astrologer gives them a mantra, Om Namo Shivaya, or something like that. Chant it 20,000 times, and you will counteract this particular thing in your chart. I have experience of people like that. So here it says you don't have to do that. You can just worship Krishna. Last paragraph. Lakshmi Devi advises all devotees who approach the Lord with material desires, that according to her practical experience, the Lord is Kamadev, and thus there is no need to ask him for anything material. She says that everyone should simply serve the Lord without any motive. Since the Supreme Personality of God is sitting in everyone's heart, He knows everyone's thoughts, and in due course of time, he will fulfill all desires. Therefore, Prabhupada, now he's asking us to do something. Let us completely depend on the service of the Lord without bothering him with our material requests. So he says so many different things. He says, okay, if you have material desires, go to the Lord. But better if we don't bother him. Better we do, he's in the heart. He knows everything we need. So this is one aspect of the philosophy, sometimes very hard to follow, to practice, because we all have problems and we have material desires. And who else can we go to except Krishna to help us? But Prabhupada is saying, don't bother Krishna with your material requests. Just depend on his service without bothering him. So, Vrij Chambrabhu is talking about this point here, that when people go to God, they ask for something very mundane and petty and selfish or shellfish. So this is not pure devotion. It's business, like going to the supermarket. We give the money, but only because we get something for ourselves. So this is not love. Love means you want to please the other person. This is love. So what other verses explain about people who go to Krishna to fulfill material desires, what happens to these people? They go to Krishna with some material desire. And how does Krishna deal with these people?
412.
Yes.
I reward them.
Demigods. People who worship demigods, they quickly get their requests fulfilled. Yes? What else? Verse. I want verses. Yeta mam prapadyante tam sataiva vajamiham. Okay, as they follow, I give them. As they follow, everyone follows my path in all respects. According to their desire, I fulfill their desire. That's good. But there's another verse, 5:19:17. You know that one, right? You forgot that. You don't know it. Okay. Satyam dishatatitam matitoninam naivapado yat punaratitayata sayam vitate bhajatam anichatam ichapitanam nijaparapalam. Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause one to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. So if you ask Krishna for something material, he may not give it. When one has other desires but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. This is 5:19:17. Oh, sorry. 27, thank you. Typing error. 5:19:27. And we'll be hearing that next week, I think. And by the way, I looked up the references for yesterday's Yes, Yes, Bhaktir quotes. The first one was one verse 4:26:8. Yeah, was one verse. And the second was quite on target, 4:29:66. If you look in the purport, you'll find the what I was talking about.
Purport.
Yes. Yeah, you'll find Yes, Yes, Bhaktir in the purport. Okay. No? You didn't find it. I had it in mind.
I saw it there.
Yeah. So then you'll find out what I was talking about in the purport. Of 4:29:66 and 4:26:8. So these are references from yesterday. So I'd like to read something from Bhajan Rahasya. No, not from Bhajan Rahasya. First, I'd like to read something from 10th Canto of Bhagavatam about Rukmini Devi. And her opinions is how her opinion is the same as Lakshmi. When Krishna advised her to marry somebody of this material world, then she had a reply for him. This is 10:60:44. So this is what Rukmini Devi said to Krishna. Tasya surachita nipa pavata padishta strinam gheshikara gosha vidala pitya yakana mula manakarshana nopayaya yishma katamida virinshasabhasagita O infallible Krishna, let each of the kings you named become the husband of a woman whose ears have never heard your glories, which are sung in the assemblies of Shiva and Brahma. After all, in the households of such women, these kings live like asses, oxen, dogs, cats, and slaves. And then it's explained in the purport by Sridhar Swami what she's talking about. Queen Rukmini is pointing, she's angry and she's pointing her index finger at Krishna. And she's comparing the great princes to asses because they carry many material burdens, to oxen because they're always distressed while performing their occupational duties, to dogs because their wives disrespect them, to cats because they are selfish and cruel, and to slaves because they are servile in family affairs. Such kings may appear desirable to a foolish woman who has not heard or understand the glories of Sri Krishna. Then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur adds, such kings are like asses because their wives sometimes kick them, like dogs because they behave inimically towards outsiders in order to protect their homes, and like cats because they eat the remnants left by their wives. So this is Rukmini's opinion about marrying someone. And then she gets even more heavy in her next verse. I guess I'll read it. The next verse. Yeah, this is 10:60-45. Jiva chavam bachati kanta matir vimudha ye te padabja makarandara jikatistri. A woman who fails to relish the fragrance of the honey of your lotus feet becomes totally befooled, and she accepts as her husband or lover a living corpse covered with skin, whiskers, nails, head hair, body hair, filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites, feces, mucus, bile, and air. So she is going a few steps further than Lakshmi here. She's very talking to Krishna. Krishna is telling her to marry these other people, and she's saying, what do you want me to marry? This is what you want me to. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, of course, yes, he says, on the authority of these statements, he indeed should become one's husband who can remove all fear. That was one of yesterday's verses. So on this authority, Sri Krishna is the real husband for all women at all times. Thus a woman who worships someone else as her husband simply worships a dead body. And so then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Rukmini considers, although the sweetness of Lord Krishna's lotus feet is well known, and although he possesses an eternal body full of knowledge and bliss, foolish women reject him. An ordinary husband's body, we already heard that, and it would be overwhelmed with flies and other vermin attracted by its bad smell and other offensive qualities. So this is heavy, heavy condemnation here of Rukmini Devi.
10?
What's that? 10:60, 44:45, right? 60:45. And then she... The next verse is quite nice. And she says to Krishna, Lotus Eyed One, though you are satisfied within yourself and rarely turn your attention toward me, please bless me with steady love for your feet. It is when you assume a predominance of passion in order to manifest the universe that you glance upon me, showing me what is indeed your greatest mercy. So she's being very humble and saying that, actually, I'm not spiritual. I'm just like Durga Devi. So when you look at me to create, then that's your mercy on me. Of course, it's an expansion of Rukmini Devi. So then there's, what should we pray for? What should be our attitude? That is in Bhajan Rahasya here. At this stage, we should pray for Krishna's mercy. When we come to this stage of realization, there's a prayer that exemplifies. It's from Srimad Bhagavatam. I give you a lot of hints. See if you can guess it. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, Prayers of Lord Brahma. What should be the consciousness? Yes. Tatenukam pam susamikshmana. That should be what we should pray for from Krishna. So I'll just sing it. Tatenukam pam susamikshmana punjani patma kutam vipakam Vidvagvabhur viradam namaste jivitaya mukti pade sadayavam. My dear Lord, one who goes through life in constant expectation of receiving your causeless mercy, patiently undergoing reactions to his past deeds, all the while offering obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is ready to inherit a place amongst the liberated. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam. 10.14.8. Prayers of Lord Brahma. So now we'll go to verse 22. Matraktaye jesha surasuradiyas tapyante ugram tava aindiyetiya ite bhavatpara parayanam namam vindantiham tvaditaya yatojita. O Supreme Unconquerable Lord, when they become absorbed in thoughts of material enjoyment, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, as well as other demigods and demons, undergo severe penances and austerities to receive my benedictions. But I do not favor anyone, however great he may be, unless he's always engaged in the service of your lotus feet. Because I always keep you within my heart, I cannot favor anyone but a devotee. So in this verse, in the purport, it's described that Lakshmi does not favor any materialistic person. And Prabhupada explains that this opulence that a materialistic person gets is not from Lakshmi, but it's from Durga. She's the one who's giving it, not Lakshmi. So what's wrong with the benedictions of Durga? What's the problem?
Temporary.
Yes. And another result. One is temporary. What's that? Mm-hmm. Means? Oh, yeah. Hladatapa kari mishra. Hladatapa kari mishra. It's mixed with distress. Okay? Well, another problem here is that it's maya sukh, Prabhupada says. Illusory happiness. Maya sukh. So the purport. Those who worship, desire material wealth, worship Durga Devi with the following mantra. Tanam dehi rupam dehi rupapati pajam dehi. So they are worshipping Durga Devi with this mantra. Give me everything. Give me beauty. Give me wealth. Give me nice wife, nice husband. Oh, worshipful mother Durga Devi. Please give me wealth, strength, fame, good wife, and so on. So this is Maya Sukh. This is the purport. Yes, Maharaj?
The verse was written by Chandidas.
Chandidas?
Yeah.
Oh.
He the one who originally
Really?
Yeah.
Why did he do that?
Chandidas was originally a worshipper of Chandidas.
Oh, okay. Chandidas was worshipping Chandi. But then he became a Vaishnava, yes? Okay. So this is by Chandidas here. Chandidas. Stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Maya Sukaya Bharam Udvahato Vimudhan. Those who work very hard for material benefits are Vimudhas, foolish rascals, because such happiness will not endure. On the other hand, devotees like Prahlad and Dhruva Maharaj achieve extraordinary material opulences, but such opulences were not Maya Sukha. Amazing. If the devotee gets something in this world, it's not Maya Sukha. Isn't that something? But if somebody else gets it, it's Maya Sukh. If a devotee gets it, it's not Maya Sukh. How come? Isn't it the same opulence? Devotee gets it, they got a kingdom. Prahlad got a kingdom. Dhruva got a kingdom. Everyone else, Bush has a kingdom. How come it's not the same? Yes, Nishingadevi. Yes, they use it for the service of Krishna. And they don't think that they are the king. They think we are just servant of Krishna, and we're taking care of his property for him while he's away. So they are the servants, they are the guardians of Krishna's property. Prabhupada continues, when a devotee acquires unparalleled opulences, they are the direct gifts of the goddess of fortune who resides in the heart of Narayan. The material opulences a person obtains by offering prayers to the goddess Durga are temporary. It's described in Bhagavad Gita, Antavattu phalam tesham tapavat yapamedasam. Men of meager intelligence desire temporary happiness. Then Prabhupada goes in here, interesting comment. We have actually seen one of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to enjoy the property of his spiritual master, and the spiritual master being merciful toward him, gave him the temporary property, but not the power to preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So after Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati left, there was a big fight between the disciples. There was a court battle over the properties. And each one was, there were two different parties. One wanted to get the property of the spiritual master, but they could not preach. That special mercy of the power to preach is given to a devotee who does not want anything material from his spiritual master, who wants only to serve him. Story of the demon Ravana illustrates this point. So even in ISKCON, we lost some temples to people. They put it in their name, and now it's ISKCON lost these temples. Not for too long, right. So this is going on. And Prabhupada left. The story of the demon Ravana illustrates this point. Although Ravana tried to abduct the goddess of fortune, Sita Devi, from the custody of Lord Ramchandra, he could not possibly do so. The Sita Devi he forcibly took with him was not the original Sita Devi, but an expansion of Maya, or Durga Devi. As a result, instead of winning the favor of the real goddess of fortune, Ravana and his whole family were vanquished by the power of Durga Devi. She stis titi palaya sadhana shaktivik, and then it goes on there. So this is the verse. Prabhupada explains that his spiritual master, he wanted his disciples to preach. And he said this was a standing order from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta to all his followers to preach. That they didn't have to ask, what should I do? Should I preach? It was a standing order. This is what he wanted. If Krishna gives you the opportunity to preach, you should take it. So if anyone who preaches, then they are actually doing the service of Lord Brahma and the Brahma Sampradaya, trying to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls. And if you actually do this service, then you get the empowerment of the parampara. So it's very wonderful here, this purport. Verse 23. Satam mamapya chutashishnivandutam karam bujamyaktvat atayisat patam piparshimam lakshma varanya mayaya kayisharasye hitam uhitum viporiti. Oh, infallible one. Your lotus palm is the source of all benediction. Therefore, your pure devotees worship it, and you very mercifully place your hand on their heads. I wish you may also place your hand on my head, for although you already bear my insignia of golden streaks on your chest, I regard this honor as merely a kind of false prestige for me. You show your real mercy to your devotees, not to me. Of course, you are the Supreme Absolute Controller, and no one can understand your motives. So Lakshmi is expressing a little bit of transcendental envy here of the other devotees who worship her husband. Because why, you know, you give them so many better things than you give me. You're much more merciful to them. And this happens like a lot of times. The husband, he'll see somebody else and he'll give more mercy to them. So this happens. This all began with Lakshmi here and Narayan. So who did the Lord show more mercy to than Lakshmi? Yes, Maharaj.
Uddhava,
yes. He's the best example.
Better than
Balaram. And Prabhupada quotes the verse here in this 11:14:15, right in the purport. Natata me priyatama atmayoni na shankara nacha sankarsano na shirinavatma chayatabhavan. Here, Krishna plainly says that his devotees are more dear to him than Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarshan, Goddess of Fortune, or even his own self. Who is his own self that he's talking about here? It's explained later on. I have a purport. Yeah, I do, I think. Yes, I have it. I have a purport that explains who is his own self. Anybody have an idea? Who is this own self that he's talking about? There is actually a form of the Lord that he's referring to. We'll find out. Just read the purport and then I'll read that quote to you. Elsewhere in Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, Nemam virinshanapavo nashirapyanga sangshaya prasadam lepide gopi yatta prapavimuktita. The Supreme Lord, who can award liberation to anyone, showed more mercy toward the gopis than to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or even the Goddess of Fortune. who is his own life and associated with his body. So there's another, some more devotees. The gopis, they got more mercy than Lakshmi. Bhagavatam states, Nayam Shiyonga Unitantarate Pasada Swayoshitam Nalina Ganta Rucham Kutonya Rasotsave Savujadanda Vihita Kanta Lata Shisham Udagad Vajasundarinam. The gopis receive benedictions from the Lord that neither Lakshmi Devi nor the most beautiful dancers and heavenly planets could attain. In the Rasa dance, the Lord showed his favor to the most fortunate gopis by placing his arms on their shoulders and dancing with each of them individually. No one can compare with the gopis who receive the causeless mercy of the Lord. And Chaitanya Chaitamrita has said, no one can receive the real favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without following in the footsteps of the gopis. Even the goddess of fortune could not receive the same favor as the gopis, although she underwent severe austerities and penances for many years. Does anyone know where she's doing these penances? And she's still doing them, by the way. Where? Bir, close to Jamuna. Yes, if you go to the other side of the Jamuna, there's a Lakshmi Devi temple where she's still doing austerities to enter. Yeah, you have to cross at Keshigad, and there's a road that goes to this little Lakshmi temple. And on her birthday, maybe even every day, the Brijbasis, they bring khichdi for her to eat. Because that's what she's doing her austerity. She's just eating khichdi. So they're feeding her khichdi. And she's still trying to get into the Rasa dance. But to this date, she has not succeeded to get into the Rasa dance. You have anything else? No. Anyway, you can go visit the temple. It's across the Jamuna River somewhere on the other side. Not very far away. I think there's a small town on the way, and then you can find the temple. So this is discussed with Venkata Bhatt, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord inquired from Venkata Bhatt, your worshipable goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always remains on the chest of Narayan. She's certainly the most chaste woman in the creation. However, my lord is Lord Shri Krishna, a cowherd boy engaged in tending cows. Why is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my lord? Just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmi abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha and for a long time accepted vows and regulative principles and performed unlimited austerities. Venkata Bhatt replied, so even since that time she's been doing it. 500 years ago when Lord Chaitanya was here, she's been doing those austerities at least since 500 years and maybe even more. This was written 5,000 years ago, so she's been doing those austerities quite for a long time. Venkata Bhatt replied, Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan are one and the same, but the pastimes of Krishna are more relishable due to their sportive nature. They are very pleasing for Krishna's shaktis. Since Krishna and Narayan are both the same personality, Lakshmi's association with Krishna did not break her vows of chastity. Rather, it was in great fun that the goddess of fortune wanted to associate with Lord Krishna. The goddess of fortune considered her vow of chastity would not be damaged by her relationship with Krishna. Rather, by associating with Krishna, she could enjoy the benefit of the Rasa dance. If she wanted to enjoy herself with Krishna, what fault is there? Why are you joking so about this? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I know there's no fault in the goddess of fortune. But still, she couldn't enter into the Rasa dance, so he got defeated on one point. But Mahaprabhu is bringing up but still she couldn't get into the Rasa dance. We hear this from revealed scriptures. Then he rubs it in. He says, the authorities of Vedic knowledge met Lord Ramchandra and Dandakaranya, and by their penances and austerities, they were allowed to enter the Rasa dance. But can you tell me why Goddess of Fortune Lakshmi could not get that opportunity? And Venkata Bhatt said, no, I cannot. I cannot enter the mystery of this incident. I am ordinary living being. My intelligence is limited. I am always disturbed. How can I understand the pastimes of the Supreme Lord? They are deeper than millions of oceans. So then Lord Chaitanya replies about the beauty of the devotees in Goloka Vrindavan. So Brijan makes a very nice comment here, which I'd like to repeat to you, that we should study Lakshmi Devi and look at what she wants. What are her desires? She has everything. If you want to think of someone who has everything, it's Lakshmi. She's got everything. So what does she want? What doesn't she have? She wants this relationship with Krishna. So Birija Prabhu says, if we have a few dollars and we want to be a billionaire, we should look at the desires of a billionaire, one who has $1 billion. What does he want? Then we can avoid the bother of becoming a billionaire. Just like he was telling me yesterday, a story about a rich man, and he had everything, but he was not happy. And then he got Prabhupada's books, and that was something he never had before. And he really got something that he never had. And he put the book, his wife was out shopping in the supermarket, and he put the books on the seat of the car where his wife was supposed to sit. And the wife came, and he wouldn't move the books. And he told her, no. So anyway, yes, this is Krishna consciousness. What does a rich man really want? He wants Krishna too. So Marijan says, we should then, if we know what this rich man wants, then we can avoid the desire of becoming a rich man, becoming a billionaire. You see what they want. So we see what Lakshmi wants, then we should have that desire. We can see what she desires. So we go to the highest desires. So now the quote that you're waiting for is actually in the purport of 11:14:15. It's the verse. Is that the verse that was quoted? Is that the? Yes, it's the verse that we quoted about Uddhava. It's described in the purport that Atma Yoni means Lord Brahma, who is born directly from his body. So he loves Uddhava more than Brahma. Lord Shiva always gives great pleasure to Lord Krishna by his constant meditation upon him. So Uddhava is more dear than Lord Shiva. And Sankarshan Balaram is his brother. Uddhava is more dear to him than Lord Balaram. Goddess of Fortune is his wife, Lakshmi. And Uddhava is more dear. And the word Atma indicates the Lord's own self as the deity. His own self as the deity. So even the deity is not as dear to him as Uddhava. So therefore we should become like Uddhava and Lakshmi and please Krishna in that way. So now I found a quote from the 10th canto which explains why couldn't Lakshmi enter the Rasa Leela. There is a reason why she couldn't do it. There is a reason, yes. Yes, yes. That's it. And this quote is in the last chapter of Bhagavatam, the super excellent power of Krishna or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. 10th canto, 90th chapter, verse 47. This is one of the points in the wonderful power of Krishna. 10:90:47. Lakshmi, whom great demigods serve menially to win her slight favor, was unable to win the privilege of joining the intimate company of Lord Krishna's devotees in Braj, despite her eagerness to participate in rasa dance and other pastimes enacted by Sri Krishna, despite the severe austerity she underwent to achieve that end, she could not transcend her natural mood of reverence. So that was the reason. She had this mood with Krishna and she couldn't change that. Her nature is to have awe and reverence, and she couldn't change her nature. So she couldn't go. Yes. Who? Giriraj Swami. Mm-hmm. She wasn't able to follow the process of Raghunuga Bhakti. She would have to take birth in Braj, accept a husband, and engage in Parakriya Ras. So she couldn't do that. So therefore, she couldn't enter the Rasa dance. So what austerities you have to do for Krishna. Now there's a quote from Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, 8th chapter, verse 2:46. And this is quoted from Brihad Vamana Purana. Lord Brahma is speaking to Bhrigu. Shastivashasahasrani maya taptam tapapura nandagopa vajastri nam parare nupalabdaye. Lord Brahma says, I underwent meditation and austerities for 60,000 years just to understand the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis. Still, I could not understand it. To say nothing of me, even Lord Shiva, Lord Shesha, and Lakshmi could not understand it. So this is the situation. So in this verse, there is another, what Lakshmi wants, actually, from Lord Krishna, is for Krishna to put his hand on her head. It's not a, I mean, for a wife to ask that doesn't seem like a very difficult thing, but Somehow she's elsewhere. So, but he did give that benediction to one of his devotees. Who was that devotee where the Lord put his hand on his head? Prahlad Maharaj, yes. That verse explaining that is 7th canto, 9th chapter, verse 5. Svaparamule patitam tamarpakam vilokadeva kupaya pariputa utapyata shishya tatap karambucham kala hivichashta tiyam kitavayam. When Lord Nrisingadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. So Prabhupada explains, when Lord Nrisingadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. And this is our hope. Our only hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Nrisingadev, Yato Yato Yamin Tato Nrisinga. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nrisingadev. So Lord Nrisingadev gave mercy to Prahlad that even Lakshmi did not get. And when he came in his fierce form of Nrisingadev, Lakshmi couldn't approach him. Because Prabhupada told why. Prabhupada said that she never saw him like that before, so angry. So she thought, she got a doubt, maybe this isn't my husband. She had a doubt, so she didn't approach him. Prabhupada says this in a lecture. Maybe he's not my husband. I never saw him like this before. Maybe I'm posture. So anyway, these things are going on. Verse 24. Shukadev Goswami continued, in Ramyaka Varsha, where Vaivasvata Manu rules, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Matsya at the end of the last era, Chakshisha Manvantara. Vaisvata Manu now worships Lord Matsya in pure devotional service and chants the following mantra. So sometimes people wonder, where is Manu living? And now we know he's ruling, seems to be here in Ramyakavarsha in Jambudvip. Manu is at Ramyakavarsha in Jambudvip. He's our present Manu. Yes, Vaisvata Manu is our present Manu. And at present, he appears to be in Ramyakavarsh. So these rulers, since he's our present Manu, it seems that this the rulers of the Varshas weren't too long ago. I mean, how long? How old is he now? How old is Vaisvata Manu? 27, 28? Chaturyugas? Half? Yeah, 28 out of 71. He's almost in midlife, yeah? Yeah, around 30, according to his life.
Third of his life.
Okay. So he's here, and all these other rulers were here at least since Vaivasvata Manu is here. So we'll read what his prayer is, the first verse 25. Om namo bhagavate mukya tamaya namasitvaya panaya jase saha se balaya mahamatsyaya nama iti. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is pure transcendence. He is the origin of all life, bodily strength, mental power, and sensory ability. Known as Mats Avatar, gigantic fish incarnation, he appears first among all the incarnations. Again, I offer my obeisances unto him. Amazing to think that the Lord appears as a fish. What will people think? If we worship a fish, what will people think? But anyway, this is a fact. He appears as, he's worshiping a fish incarnation. Our Manu, our present Manu, is worshiping Matsya. What's the connection between our Manu and Matsya? He was Satyavrat in the previous Chakshusha Manmantara. He was saved by Matsya, and now he's our Manu. So the purport, Jayadev Goswami sings, Pralaya payari chale titavana siveram vitalahita charitra makeram keshava jitta mina sharira jaya jagadishahare jaya jagadishahare jaya jagadishahare. Soon after the cosmic creation, the entire universe was inundated with water. At that time, Lord Krishna, Keshava incarnated as a gigantic fish to protect the Vedas. Therefore, Manu addresses Lord Matsya as Mukhyatama, the first incarnation to appear. Fish are generally considered a mixture of the modes of ignorance and passion. But we must understand that every incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely transcendental. There is never any deterioration of the Supreme Lord's original transcendental quality. Therefore, the word Satvaya is used here, meaning pure goodness on the transcendental platform. There are many incarnations of the Lord, Varahamurti, boar form, Kurmamurti, tortoise form, Haigrivamurti, form of a horse, and so on. Yet, we should never think any of them material. They are always situated on the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure transcendence. Verse 26. Antabahischa kilaloka palakai adishta rupa vicharasirusana saisharastam yairam shenayan namna yatadaru mayin narastiyam. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all living entities in the universe, such as the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart as a supreme witness and commander, and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of societies, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. So I just now saw something very interesting in the verse, that here the verse is talking about controlling the leaders, or all living entities of the universe, but the leaders cannot realize you. So how he is describing the Lord in the heart here in relationship to the leaders. There's one word there I found very interesting in the verse, that he's the commander in the heart. So all the leaders, they want to be commanders, but he's the actual commander in everyone's heart, which they don't hear. So Purport Prabhupada says, Supreme Personality of Godhead is Antarbahi, present within and without everything. One must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy and realize his presence both externally and internally. So what is this delusion Prabhupada's talking about here? That's in regards to Antarbahi, inside and outside. What's our delusion? What is the delusion of the material world? Yes. Aham Mameti. Yes. We see ourselves inside and outside everything, but we don't see Krishna anywhere. Okay, Aham Mameti. Srimati Kunti Devi has explained that Krishna appears in this world nato natyataro yata, exactly like an actor dressed as a player. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesha arjuna tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. The Lord is situated within everyone's heart and outside as well. Within the heart, he's Supersoul, the incarnation who acts as the advisor and witness. Yet although God is residing within their hearts, foolish people say, I cannot see God. Please show him to me. So here, Prabhupada compares Krishna, he quotes Bhagavatam, Krishna is compared to an actor unrecognized. Any other analogies comparing Krishna to something unrecognized? There is one that we heard.
Magician?
I don't know what you... Braja?
Magician.
Magician, okay. He's like a magician. There's an analogy. Yes, he's like a magician, okay. It's like a magician.
Like a spider in a cobweb.
Spider in a cobweb. And there's another one about being unrecognized that we heard a few years ago in our class. It's an analogy. And it's very interesting because it has something to do with fish. And he's a fish. That we're talking about Matsya Avatar. Okay. Yes, the moon, yes. Okay, this is 3:28. Uddhava. Uddhava is lamenting. He says, the universe with all its planets is most unfortunate, and even more unfortunate are the members of the outer dynasty because they could not identify Lord Hari as a personality of Godhead any more than the fish could identify the moon. So he's like an actor on the stage who's unrecognized, and he's like a moon, the reflection of the moon in the water, which the fish could not recognize. So in the same way, the members of the Yadu dynasty, although Krishna is the Supreme Lord, they could not recognize him as such, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this was, Uddhava lamented his own fortune also, because although he knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not properly use the opportunity to render devotional service to the Lord. So this is an example of viraha separation. Verse 26. Did I read 26? Yes, I did. I or didn't I? Yes, I did. 27. Yam lokapala kilamatsara chara hitva yatanta pipritak samiticha patuna sheko di parashaduspada sadistupam stanu yaratadishite. My Lord, from the great leaders of the universe, such as Lord Brahma and other demigods, down to the political leaders of this world, all are envious of your authority. Without your help, however, they could neither separately nor concertedly maintain the innumerable living entities within the universe. You are actually the only maintainer of all human beings, animals like cows and asses, plants, reptiles, birds, mountains, and whatever else is visible within this material world. So, here it says the leaders are envious of Krishna. Yes, they're envious of the authority. How are the leaders envious of Krishna? Leaders of this world. Yes. They want to take his position as what?
As a leader.
As enjoyer, as maintainer, and as, one more thing.
Protector.
Controller. Friend. Yes, remember the verse? Bhoktaram yakitapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. So he's actually the enjoyer, the maintainer, and the friend. The Lord. He's the Lord. He's the controller, enjoyer, and friend. They want to be. So Prabhupada in the purport explains that the materialists can't even fulfill their desire of feeding the starving masses. Why can't they do that? Why can't they feed the starving masses? Okay, if you don't know, I'll read it to you. Four lines down, paragraph 2. Unfortunately, such materialists, either singly or combined in the form of the United Nations, cannot fulfill their plans. The truth is that the many millions of human beings, animals, birds, and trees, indeed, all living entities, are maintained solely by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eko bahunam yo vidatati kaman. One person, the Supreme Lord, is supplying necessities of life for all other living entities. To challenge the authority of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the business of asuras, demons. Yet, sometimes suras, or devotees, are also bewildered by the illusory energy and falsely claim to be maintainer of the entire universe. Such incidents are described in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami tells how Lord Brahma and King Indra became puffed up and were eventually chastised by Krishna. So, what is the cause of starvation in this world? The leaders can't, why can't they actually, why is there always starvation? Why can't they, you know, somehow finish this problem of starvation in the world? Yes.
Yajna is not performed
properly. Exactly. Yajna is not performed. Actually, I have a quote, 3549, that the Lord can maintain any number of living entities provided they are conscious of how to eat. That's another point. They're not doing yajna, and also they're not eating properly. But eating properly means to offer yajna. Prabhupada says, if they want to eat like ordinary animals who have no God consciousness, then they must live in starvation, poverty, and want like the jungle animals in the forest. Human beings are provided with food, grains, vegetables, fruits, and milk, but it is the duty of the human beings to acknowledge mercy of the Lord. As a matter of gratitude, they should feel obliged to the Lord for their supply of foodstuff. So what are the verses which support this view of Srila Prabhupada? They should offer their food. Krishna. Yashishtashina santo muchante sarvakilvisha. That is 3:13. If you don't offer it, you're eating sin. And then Prabhupada says a very wonderful statement. Famine is not due to an increase in population, as less intelligent economists think. When human society is grateful to the Lord for all his gifts, for the maintenance of the living entities, there is certainly no scarcity or want in society. So I remember, I think I told this probably the last few years, but I'll tell it again, it's relevant. When I was here in the 1970s in India, one of the devotees, it might have been Harikesh, was talking to Srila Prabhupada because he had been preaching in Russia. And he was telling Srila Prabhupada, in Russia there are no grains. They have no grains. So then Prabhupada asked him, why? Why no grains? He said, because there's no rain in Russia. So Prabhupada said, and why is there no rain in Russia? Because they're atheists. And so this was what's happening. And then Prabhupada, he gave an illustration of from logic. Arta Kukati Nyaya, yes? The logic of half a hen. He says the Russians, they want the hen, but they think that the part that you feed is too expensive, so we'll cut off the head and just take the backside that lays the eggs. Yes?
There were two countries in the world which boasted being completely atheistic.
Atheistic. Completely atheistic, two countries.
Boasted. And these two countries are Albania and North Korea. And they suffer famine.
They suffer.
Indeed, they have nothing to eat.
They have nothing to eat. No rain. Albania and? They don't have food. They don't have necessities. North Korea and Albania, who boast openly that they are atheistic countries. North Korea and Albania are boasting that they are atheistic countries. North Korea, okay. So there you have it. If you want to know which countries to avoid for preaching, then don't go to North Korea or Albania. They are preaching. Nobody's preaching. You cannot even in Albania. Everywhere. Albania. From the city, from the government, yes. You get a coupon to buy your food. So this is the result of atheism. We can see it right now in the world. Okay, verse 28. Bhavan yukanta nava urami malani shani imam oshadi virutam mitim mayasahoru kamate cha ojasa tasmai jagat prana ganat mane nama iti. O Almighty Lord, as the end of the millennium, this planet Earth, which is the source of all kinds of herbs, drugs, and trees, was inundated by water and drowned beneath the devastating waves. At that time, it protected me along with the earth and roamed the sea with great speed. O Unborn One, you are the actual maintainer of the entire universal creation, and therefore you are the cause of all living entities. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, all the wonderful transformations of nature are happening under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Envious persons cannot see this, but a devotee, even though very humble, and even if uneducated, knows behind all the activities of nature is the supreme hand of the Supreme Being. So this is, how does the devotee see the hand of the Lord behind nature? What is the hand? Where is the hand of the Lord? Yes, Maharaj.
Sometimes they say the words handling obstacles are removed from the path of devotees.
Okay, Maharaj is having a very wonderful realization of obstacles being removed from the paths of devotees. This is the hand of the Lord. When you see obstacles being removed, you can know it is the hand. Yes. And you can see the hand of the Lord when he places obstacles in your, when you try to enjoy sense gratification or economic development for sense gratification. This is the hand of the Lord for the devotee. And I was just reading ahead yesterday. I started reading sixth canto again. And right in the first chapters describing that something, I can't remember the exact words, but the atheists, they are trying to cover the hand of the Lord in nature. They don't want people to see the hand of the Lord. They're deliberately trying to cover the hand of the Lord. Yes, Marvin Puri. Pure devotee is compared to a glove on the hand of the Lord. Where is that? That's an interesting... That's your observation. Okay. Madhavendra Puri has observed that pure devotee is like a glove on the hand of the Lord. Samadarshana. Right. So he's using through the hands, yes, okay. That's nice. And through the devotee, the Lord is putting his hand, using his hand in the material world. He is the mercy. He is the mercy energy of the Lord. Kripa Shakti. The devotee is the Kripa Shakti of Krishna. Krishna's representative of mercy. Okay? Anything else? How you can see the hand of the Lord in this world? Two opposite examples were given. There's the cobbler and the Brahmin. The cobbler saw the hand of the Lord in the seed of the tree. The seed of the tree. You look at the seed, you can see the hand of the Lord. How did Srila Prabhupada see the hand of the Lord? I don't have any quotes here. Does anybody remember anything? Yes, Maharaj.
The thing was when his relatives took away his business. When he got his sons took away his business in Lucknow, he thought it was...
Okay, when he lost his business in Lucknow, he thought, this is the hand of the Lord. Okay, yes?
When his wife sold his
Bhagavatam. Oh, when his wife traded his Bhagavatam for biscuits, tea biscuits, that was the hand of the Lord. He finally understood. Okay. Yes? Yes, in 1944, when there was bombing of Calcutta, Prabhupada saw, this is Krishna. The bombs are Krishna coming. Virat Rupa on the Jaladuta. He also saw Krishna rowing his boat on the Jaladuta. Yes. Yes, he saw his godbrother was insisting for him to take sannyas. This was the hand of the Lord. These are like wake-up calls. Sometimes we all get wake-up calls along the line of our sadhana bhakti. Sometimes we get a wake-up call like that. So we have to be alert when the wake-up call comes, not to try to avoid it and try to sleep more deeply and avoid the call. Because when you pretend to sleep, it's harder to wake up, harder for someone to wake you up. Yes, impossible. You're pretending to be asleep, then how is anybody going to wake you up? Did you get a wake-up call, Maharaj?
Wake-up call means they keep your ears open. Because the ears are the last resort.
That's right. Ears are the last thing. Even when you're sleeping, your ears are still open. So the wake-up call will come through the ears, it seems. Most likely. And I remember, was it this year, I was reading... I think it was this year. Oh, no. It was another class. That Prabhupada was talking with... I can't remember. Sudama. Yeah, Sudama, this one devotee, Maharaj, before Prabhupada left. And he was saying, Prabhupada was telling him, you know, I'm going to leave someday, and after I leave, you should listen for me. Listen for me. It could be anyone speaking. You listen for me. Anyone could be speaking to you, it'll be me speaking to you. He said, you listen for me. So then Sudama says, what do you mean? If a dog barks, you know, or what should I... He said, no, you just listen. Listen very carefully. And I'll still be there after I leave this world. I'll still be. And then what happened was he got very sick. He got AIDS. He left ISKCON after Prabhupada left, and then his mother had a dream of Prabhupada. And his mother told him, go back to Prabhupada. So that was the one he had to listen to. It was his mother. Prabhupada was speaking through his mother. So the wake-up call may come in very strange ways sometimes. Maybe our enemies waking us up. Maybe anywhere we have to listen. We have to listen for the wake-up call. Someone gave a class just before I left for Mayapur. It was Bhaktisiddhanta. Yes, I said that. I mentioned that. Prabhupada told him, wake up, wake up. So what does it mean for us to wake up? We have to think in our lives. Are we awake or are we still sleeping very happily? What does it mean? What would it mean for us to have a wake-up call? Maharaj.
Isn't it the reverse?
Huh?
The Prabhupada said that Krishna is father. Sometimes he gives you rascal and he gives you slap, but he's father.
Okay, sometimes he gives you rascal and sometimes he gives you slap. But he's still your father.
The slap is the wake-up call.
Okay, the slap is the wake-up call, huh? The slap, not the rascal. Rascula is no problem. We can sleep and eat the rascula, but when we get the slap, we can't sleep. Right?
When you get the reverse, yes. It opens your eyes, yes.
When you get the reverse, then it's time to take stock of your situation. You have to think, okay, what have I done? Where am I going? Now how shall I proceed further in my life? And that's the time. I think I read that from Bhakti Chaitamaraj. She said that's the actual time when we can make most advancement, is if we actually accept that this is the wake-up call for us, the time to really, really go closer to Krishna, seeing the hand of Krishna slapping us. Okay, not easy. Not easy at all. Okay, anything else? Any other way to see the hand? Any questions or comments? Yes. Why couldn't she get the, even though her austerities, her...
I mean, why was she considering herself deprived of gold fingers?
Why was she considering herself deprived?
And the other devotees had a favor and not her?
Yes, because they have a different relationship than she does. She doesn't get to enter that relationship that they have. Seems to be more intimate. She feels like she's a less intimate devotee than they are.
Yeah, but
even though she seems like she's on his chest, who could be more intimate?
Yes, exactly.
But it's not where you are. It's not where you are. It's
humility,
but also not just that. She wants to. She wants to be like those devotees. She wants to have. There's something with her husband she hasn't tasted. Some relationship she hasn't tasted, and she wants that. Yes. Yeah, she knows he's God. The gopis don't know. So that's the difference. She knows he's the Supreme Lord. They don't know. So she wants him to treat her like that, like he treats the gopis, very intimately, as if... Whereas they have a different relationship. But she can't go beyond it. Even though she may desire it, she still can't change. We may desire something, but we can't change how we are. And in order to get that, you have to change. Right, she cannot change.
So it's like a circular reasoning.
It's a what?
Circular reasoning.
Circular reasoning, yes.
There's no end.
Yeah, no end. So she'll always be doing austerities
because
for her whole life.
She will never be able to become
right.
Or
right.
Or
right. Right. That's the way it is. But it's a lesson for us also.
It's more like for the edification.
Yes. We should learn that what is the highest. Prabhupada's pointing us, Lakshmi's pointing us in that direction to the 10th canto. This is pointing us in that direction. Yes, she's saying that's the way to go. You go to the gopis. You go to these devotees. Yes. Mudavar Sampradaya. How can we aspire to associate with Krishna like the gopis? Any answers? How can we have that desire to be better? How can we go beyond Lakshmi? Yes. Servants of Lord Chaitanya, okay. He's in that mood. We're in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that means Goloka Vrindavan, basically. Although there may be exceptions, but basically, generally speaking, we're going to Goloka. Yes? She's fixed. She knows. She's in her position, yeah. We're not yet. We're not. So how, but there's still the question remains, how can we aspire for this? Marina Poikabu. Navadi Dhamma Hatma. They're doing Purikama together. Nityananda and Jiva Goswami are doing Purikama together around Navadi. So who told who? Nityananda told Jiva Goswami, if you're just in Dasya Ras with Lord Chaitanya,
he will place you in higher realms himself.
He will place you in higher realms himself. You don't have to endeavor.
All you have to do, he told Jiva.
All you have to do, he told Jiva, is
perfect
Dasya Ras. And for us, it means Dasa Dasa Anudasa Anudasa. It means serving your Guru Maharaj, serving the Parampara, because that's the way to go. And that's the way we'll always be. We'll always be servant of the... We don't change that. We don't change being servant of the servant of the servant of us. That's who we are. That's our... And we're right here in this line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, servant of Srila Prabhupada, servant of his disciples, whatever it is, servant of the servant of the servant. So that's how you get there. Huh? No, she's servant of Narayan. She's not servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. We are servant of the servant of the servant. Anyway, yes. Nectar of devotion. Let's hear nectar of devotion. Sri Rupa Goswami explains. The soul has its Swarup City. Swarup City. We have our constitutional position which cannot change. Some living entities are fixed in Vaikuntha. And what? They will not change the direction of their devotion. Example of Hanuman. Fixed in his devotion. Other souls have the seed of bhakti in Braj. By the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, they progress up to Braj. And he praises the devotee of Braj as the highest. They never change their direction. I know that I was teaching in Bhakti Shastri one time, and one of my students came to me after the class, and she says, you know, I have to confess something to you. She says, I'm really attached to Ram. So I know that we don't, you know, we're supposed to be worshiping Krishna, Radha Krishna and all, but actually, I'm very attached to Lord Ram, and I can't see, you know, him having more than one wife. I just see him like perfect, one wife. That's the only way I can see the Lord. If I see him with so many wives, and I just, he's not my Lord. People in India also have trouble with this idea, some people, that how can he have so many gopis? And that was answered here by Lakshmi. How can he do that? Yes. One devotee asked Prabhupada that question in a letter or a conversation or something, I recall. And they were asking, is it that all your disciples, are they going to be in Madhurya, at Goloka Vrindavan? Prabhupada said, no, they will be in all different places, he said. I mean, some can be other places as well. One devotee asked him that. I think Revanti Nandan or somebody asked him that question. He said, they can be other places. How can it be? Yes. Well, now we're in the sadhana bhakti stage. So when you come to your to the level of when you understand your relationship with Krishna, or in which form, then that will come. Yes, Adi Purush Prabhu.
It's not that devotees in other places don't appreciate Krishna.
Yes, now that's a good point. Bhishma, yeah?
Sorry, Bhishma, worshipping the gopis.
Yes, Bhishma was worshipping the gopis in his last prayers. So it's not that they don't appreciate. They do appreciate that these devotees, they have such a wonderful relationship with Krishna and they worship from a distance. Yes?
According to Rupa Goswami, in other ages it was enough to worship some other avatar.
Uh-huh.
But in this age you need something really powerful.
Right.
So
according to who? Rupa Goswami. In other ages, you could worship other avatars, but now in Kali Yuga, you need the highest. You need Krishna, himself, personally, to come. So therefore, we have to worship Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. After your heart is thought out, Adi Prabhu says, I suppose you could go another direction. Yes. Shri Bhakti Siddhanta, who told it? Bhakti Chara Maharaj told this in class that Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was doing parikrama.
So in
Samkund, in Braj.
So they were circumambulating the Kund.
They were circumambulating the Kund.
Clockwise.
And
there was another group of Vaishnavas circumambulating the Kund.
There's another group of Vaishnavas circumambulating the Kund counterclockwise. They are what?
Kaishnavas.
Kaishnavas. Oh.
And they're from Gujarat.
Oh, so the Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati stopped and said those other devotees are Kaishnavas. They're from Gujarat. They're worshipping Krishna and they're from Gujarat. And we are Gaudiyas.
And we worship Srimati Radharani.
So we worship Srimati Radharani, so we're going clockwise. We lack Krishna because Srimati Radharani lacks him.
And the Kaishnavas, they lack Srimati Radharani because Krishna lacks her.
And the Kaishnavas, they lack Srimati Radharani because Krishna lacks her. So like or lack?
Likes.
Okay. Yeah. Likes. Okay, so sorry. He likes.
Prabhuji is very light.
Hari Prabhu. Oh, Guru Sima.
We
have very specific family. Right. Branch. Very specific line, yes. Okay, so so because the Gaudiya Vaishnavas like Radharani, so they go clockwise. And because the Kaishnavas like Krishna, oh, anyway, I can't, I'm all confused. Anyway, figure it out yourself. Yeah. Okay. They worship Krishna.
Gaudiya means worshipper of
Radharani. Okay. Gaudiya means worshipper of Radharani. They like Radharani. Yes. In Vaikuntha. The other rasas are included. Okay. When Lord Chaitanya is giving the highest, he's automatically giving all the other rasas. They're all included. We see in Chaitanya Charitamrita different devotees manifest different rasas. Some, they like Ram and Hanuman. Different rasas, yes.
But then they are satisfied with their worshiping.
They are satisfied, yes. They are satisfied. Why is Lakshmi not satisfied? The nature of the wife. Never satisfied. Whatever the poor husband does, I know. Yes.
Position is like that.
Hmm?
Position is like that.
Our position is like that. Yeah, she's a wife. She's saying, how come, you know, this one is getting, I'm not getting.
No.
But she can't get. no matter what she does. She just, yeah. She has to come and become one of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Then, yes. But it hasn't happened yet. In Gaur Lila. It says that everyone came. Well, she would be Dwaita's wife, perhaps, or
wife of.
Yeah, Vishupriya. Could be Vishupriya. Yeah, Vishupriya, Lakshmi Priya. Lakshmi Vishupriya.
So she came?
Yeah, she came. That's true.
She made it.
She came, yes. Somehow. Okay, Dhamma Krishna. What's that? My Visita, that's right. Okay. Namana. In Lakshmi Sampradaya, who appeared?
Andar.
Andar.
And she's incarnation of unity, but her devotion is like focus.
She's incarnation of Bhumi Devi? But her relationship is like the gopis. In Lakshmi Sampradaya.
Yeah, she did Sankirtan, but with not Hare Krishna, but with names of Narayan.
She did Sankirtan with the names of Narayan. Where is this?
Andar.
Her name was Andar.
She's in all the Shivaishna temples, like the site of Lakshmi is Andar.
Next to Lakshmi is Andar, in the Sri temple. So she did, one of her expansions actually seems to have done that. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
We heard that these avatars are actually
deities.
So who is this Narayana deity?
Narayana deity. Yes, in Badri Kashram. Yeah, but now here in Bharat Varshis, in Badri Kashram, there is Narayana deity. As far as I know, I don't know, I've never been there. Is it? Yes. Yes, Lord Chaitanya. Yes. Yes, she came. So the next question is about Naranarayana, and he is being worshipped in Badri Kashram as a deity, Naranarayana deities. Yes? Oh, and in Badri Kashram, Naranarayana are present as two beautiful mountains. And also there is a Badri Kashram here in Braj, where they are present as two hills. I went there. You can see the two hills, Naranarayana. Here in Braj, there's also Badri Kashram. Okay, Lita Shuka. Sakam Bhaktas. Yes. Ananyas Shintayanto Mam. So if a devotee prays to preserve things for his service and carry things what he needs for his service,
is that a lack of faith in Krishna?
Is that lack of faith in Krishna? What do you say? No. It's a high level. It's very high. I would say there's different levels of faith, but Prabhupada is talking about on one level you pray to Krishna for your material things. Another higher level you pray to Krishna on things for your service. And on a higher level you just depend. Say, okay, you know what I need. Just give it. No, not like that. Sometimes I pray like that. You know I have a headache. No. So we have our different moods in our relationship with Krishna and different levels of faith. So you see yourself in how you move from one level to another. Maybe in the beginning you might have prayed for something material, but then it changes to something for your service. And then it changes to, okay, whatever, yes, whatever, no, I mean for Krishna's service. And whatever, okay, Krishna, whatever you want. If you want it like that, okay. I accept. I accept what you want. Okay, anything Any other questions or comments? Yes. Question? What's that? Okay, so, okay, it's the feeling that you can be somebody's friend. Yeah, but what the verse was talking about was how the leaders, they want the people to believe that they are their friends. That they will, like in America, there was one president, one of his campaign slogan was a chicken in every pot and two cars in every garage. So only your friend would give you that. Two cars in every garage. So a friend, that was his campaign slogan.
He lost.
I don't know. I don't remember who it was. But that was it was when I was young. That was his campaign slogan. So they want people to believe that they should go to them if they need help. They should go to. They want to be like the ultimate friend of all their. But actually, they're the opposite. They're taking everything for themselves. So in that sense, that's what I understood the verse. Not that, you know, you have a friend or something. That's nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, what do you think? Somebody, you have, yes. Suhrit, okay, Suhrit, that's good. Yeah, Suhrit means a special friend. One who gives. One who thinks, who gives what will be best for the other person. That's Suhrit. Well-wisher, you're ever well-wisher, Prabhupada. Yeah, so the well-wisher, the real well-wisher, that's Suhrit. But these people, they don't know what is the best thing, also, obviously. Yes, Maharaj?
I was telling you there's so many, there's Suhrit, there's Mitra.
Yeah, Suhrit, Mitra, and what's the other? Bantu? Bantu. One's official, one's social, and one is the best. Suhrit is the best. Suhrit. Su means very beautiful. Hrit, heart. Yeah, and beautiful heart, Prabhupada says. Suhrit, very beautiful heart. Beautiful heart. So they're all, just like mother. Mother is always thinking what's best for the child. She doesn't think, you know, otherwise. She's just thinking, okay, this is the best. This is what would benefit the child, even if it means she has to sacrifice or whatever. So that's how it is with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, your ever well-wisher. Every letter he would sign, your ever well-wisher. Ever. Eternally. Well-wisher. Good to have a well-wisher like that. So anything, anytime you need something, just go to the samadhi. Pray to Srila Prabhupada. He is Suhrit. Suhrit. Any other questions? Agla Srila Prabhupada.